Hello, and welcome to Now and Center, Entrepreneurial Voices from the Margin. I'm your host, Karen Bartlett, and as a multiracial woman business owner, my voice hasn't been represented in the dominant narrative of the business world. The predominant voices have been privileged white, cishet male voices, and they've created a business culture rooted in extraction, transactionalism, and dehumanization. The time is now to center the voices that have been marginalized for too long. Join us to hear the stories of diverse entrepreneurs who will share what they've learned and tell it like it really is. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's session of the Now and Center podcast. I am here with one of the most amazing humans, and I'm just super, super excited that we're getting to do this. Before I introduce who she is, we actually met pre-pandemic. I feel like there's so many people that I've had on the show who I have met during the pandemic, but met pre-pandemic and actually got to work together and collaborate together kind of underneath the umbrella of Kite and Dart. And like, I just so appreciate your perspective, your wisdom, your commitments. Like, it's like, it's just like your whole being, literally. Like, it's just how you show up all the time to everything you do. I just appreciate so much. And so with that, I'm here today with Sydney Jackson Cloxton. She's the founder of Citrine Unlimited. Sydney, welcome and thank you so much for being here today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Karen. And I want to say it's mutual admiration. I know we were like just loving on each other. Yeah. The interview, and I was like, I'm fangirling over you. You're fangirling over me. So like, thank you. And I would say the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, anytime I'm out in public, you are just so highly regarded and valued as an individual and as a human being. So I'm lucky to have you in my circle.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. And yeah, absolutely right back at you. We do definitely have a big overlap in terms of like our networks. And Sydney and I were just talking about how like literally both of us get that where we're talking to other people. And if the other person comes up, it's like, oh my gosh, Sydney's amazing. And it's super fun too. Like just, I feel like we've had so many different ways that we have gotten to collaborate, like doing, you know, kind of Nate's initial program, if you will, for scaling Kite and Dart, you know, where we were doing the cohort leader program together. And we've collaborated on doing presentations with C4G together. We've worked together through RMMFI. Like there's just been a lot of cool ways that we've gotten to collaborate and work together. And I honestly, I know we don't talk super often, but just consider you to be a dear friend in addition to being a colleague. So I really appreciate our relationship. And I'm super glad that we get to have this one-on-one conversation today.
Me too. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah. So with that, let's let everybody else know a little bit more about you. Will you please share with folks about Citrine Unlimited, the work you're doing, the difference you're making?
Yeah. So I am the owner and founder of Citrine Unlimited. And actually, exactly like Karen had mentioned, we met right before the pandemic had happened. I actually owned a travel agency, which was starting to take off. And then COVID hit and I needed to pivot quickly. And that's where we met with Kite and Dart and me trying to figure out, oh my God, like I've spent a lot of my lifetime in tourism. That's what my degrees are in. And then in hospitality management, what am I going to do next? And I really appreciated getting to dig into my values to understand that if I lead with my values, no matter what I decide to do, I'll be okay. Right. And I'll be able to still make a huge impact in my community and in the world and leave behind this legacy of change making. So with Citrine Unlimited, I am a leadership development coach. I also do help on occasion small business owners with some coaching. And then I also do a lot of public speaking, everything from I've done some work with the Posner Center for International Development and hosting their like 2-week conference and being like the voice of the conference, all the way to literally teaching and training folks in a group setting, workshops. And then I also am an author. So I just published my first book which I was really excited about. I still am really excited about. And I have a couple more coming out into this year, early next year. So yeah, that's what I do in a nutshell. And I'm all about really just working with clients to mobilize them and to get them towards achieving whatever they want to achieve, whether that's through their business, in their personal life, whatever that may be. Because I know we all can get stuck sometimes. And it's really nice when we don't have to stay stuck. You know, we can work with someone else to help support us and hold us accountable to move through that. So yeah, that's what I do.
So great. So great. Now, and I want to return to a little bit more about your work, but first I want to call out a couple other things because this was part of, I think, what was super fun in collaborating with you, partnering with you as you were shifting from the travel work and the hospitality work into Citrine Unlimited. There's two things. One is I remember, I guess it was like the light bulb went off, right? Because I love how you said it's leading with your values, right? That's what's most important, no matter what you're doing. But then I also just remember the light bulb going off and how it was like you made that connection of how with the travel and hospitality, it was about helping people, you know, create and get this experience that would transform them. And that you were like, oh, that's my superpower. But it doesn't, if it can't be around travel, there are other ways for people to have transformative experiences. And so I just kind of wanted to call that out because I think it's super cool to have seen this sort of maybe different translation of the superpower that you have.
Yeah, you have a good for your memory. Business. You have such a good memory.
Well, I mean, it was just super cool. And I love those aha moments, right? When it's like, bam, like this is it, you know? So I think that was great. And I think part of how I'm able to remember that is that I've seen that be true over and over and over, where whether you're, you know, emceeing or moderating the Posner Center Symposium, or I don't know the right word for it, but, you know, or you're leading a training or facilitating some conversation, like you really are about giving people an experience that impacts them.
Yeah. And that's
awesome.
And thank you. Thank you. And yeah, that was my big aha moment. You know, I think too, a lot of it also stemmed from, and this is a big reason why I love talking about imposter syndrome, because of the environment. I don't know if you know this, but the hospitality industry is not always the most healthiest industry.
Yeah.
I remember being
in there.
Yeah. I remember being the only person in the office sometimes when I was a sales manager. Like I didn't drink, I didn't smoke anything. Like I, you know, and I'm not saying I'm a saint, but it wasn't something I did on a regular basis to help combat like burnout and being mistreated and work standards. And so when I had that like moment of like, whoa, like I don't have to hold myself in this box anymore, it really did open up the world to me. And it really helped encourage me to say, you know what, like you don't have to stay where you are. You don't have to pigeonhole yourself because other people didn't see in you what you actually are able to do, what you're capable of. And it just was such an amazing experience to like break outside of that box and know that like I can, like you said, transform people's lives and create an experience. And a lot of people loved working with me during the pandemic because virtual events, you know, they're so boring usually, right? And they're very like blah. But even now, as I work part-time with Rocky Mountain Microfinance Institute and I'm training entrepreneurs, we're still virtual. That tends to work better for folks who are entrepreneurs. You know, they have families, they have full-time jobs, they're trying to get their businesses up and running. And every time my students or the entrepreneurs I work with, they're like, wow, like that wasn't boring. Like I actually stayed awake, you know, from 5:30 to 8 p.m. at night and got so much out of what you were saying. And I almost think it's like a performance. I consider myself secretly an entertainer. And that's what helps to cause these transformational experiences too, is that people are enjoying their time when we're working together. So yeah, it was definitely eye-opening for sure when I like broke outside of that box of, oh, you only can do this in this way. And knowing that I can cause that transformation in so many other ways, no matter what I do.
Totally, totally. And I know that you really put those talents towards your values, right? And living them out and doing, you know, work in such a way that you get to bring more of what you care about into the world. And that's, it's really great. With that, I want to call out too that you, just because I know what this about you, you didn't share it, that you design retreats.
Yeah.
And I've heard, I haven't been on one of your retreats, but I've heard really amazing things about them from people who have. And then I'd also love to ask you, just because I would love my listeners to consider going out and, you know, buying your book or books when they're all out. Can you share the one that's already been published? And I don't know if you already have the titles for the others.
Yeah. So one on the retreats, yes, I do retreat design. And so that was me figuring out a way to kind of integrate the passion for travel back into my business without being fully committed to the travel industry, because as we know, that can be very volatile just because of external factors, you know, beyond control. And so it's been amazing for me to not only plan my own retreats, I did do one called the Passion Over Perfection Retreat. And I do plan to host that again on my website. I have information of what that's looked like in the past. And, you know, when you can actually sign up for my newsletter to get information on when the next one's happening. But I've been able to also help other people who are business owners or organizations plan their retreats, whether that's like, I'm doing a staff retreat, I'm going to do a board retreat, all the way to, you know, I have clientele list and this is the next level of my business where I want to work with them in a more one-on-one, well, I guess I wouldn't say one-on-one, but a small group environment. You know, yeah, where they have more access to me and we can really do some deep dive education and have fun doing it. So that's my retreat part. Love it. So much fun. And then when it comes to the books, I actually did a book collaboration called The Badass Within, and it's a collection of stories of women overcoming trauma. And so in this book, I write about my experience of overcoming police brutality and just like how that shaped a lot of the negative thoughts I had about myself and a lot of the negative views I had about the world, and how even if someone's not going through the same situation as me with police brutality, maybe it's something else that happened in their childhood or as an adult, how we can start to like overcome that negative experience to actually come out on the other side and be stronger, you know, after such a traumatizing experience. So the book is filled with stories from about 15. Yeah, there's 15 of us, 15 women, including myself. And you'll hear everything in the book from, you know, miscarriage and loss and overcoming that to, you know, my partner left me, to I was the reason my partner left their previous family, like everything out there. Mm-hmm. But it's all about how did I overcome this trauma, this guilt, the shame, and how can you do that too? So really cool collection of voices to really uplift folks who are interested into reading something like that.
Right. Very cool. I haven't read it yet. And I didn't know that about you. Like, I'm after all these years, I don't think I've ever heard that story. And one, like, I'm sorry that that happened. Like, that's messed up. And I will really look forward to reading about it and hearing the whole story.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, no. And that's the thing about it too. And I think with anybody who is going through something traumatic, there's this cloud of shame around it. Yeah. And, you know, my mom, she's actually a therapist now. And something she says often is, I wish we would have got therapy after this situation happened to us. Because back then, you know, this was in the 90s, mid 90s. Not that like,
yeah, still going on.
Yeah, police brutality is not new and it's not old. But it was kind of this thing of like, well, we need to keep moving forward. We didn't die, or you didn't die. So like, let's keep moving. And so I think that's why it doesn't come up very often. It's just because the conversation has shifted more. And I knew I needed to share my story because it's not something that's uncommon. I actually meet a lot of folks where they have been survivors of police brutality, and it's just not something that ever got talked about. It's the same thing. Like, let's not speak about it. Let's just keep on moving. You know, what are you going to do about it? Yeah. And something that's in the story is that, you know, my grandmother and my mother ended up going to court over it. And because a rookie cop spoke up and wouldn't corroborate the story that was created around what happened, that's the only reason my grandmother and my mother didn't go to jail. Because one guy said, out of the group of like 10 officers, like, no, like what they're saying is true. And I didn't become a police officer to hurt and harm people. I became an officer to help people. And so, yeah. So I'm like tearing up now, even thinking about it. But yeah, I hope you enjoy it. And you'll have to let me know what you think.
Yeah. Ooh, I gotta get it. Wow. That's really fascinating. And I think you're right. I mean, I've had a couple other clients who have experienced brutality, you know, police brutality. And I think to your point, right, it's like so many things. And maybe this kind of ties it back to, you know, a little bit about what I wanted to bring in terms of thinking about, I know you talk a lot about imposter syndrome, about overcoming perfectionism, and really about like holistic leadership. And for me, those things all very much go together in a way. And what I'm hearing and what I know to be true is that for so many things, like not just that, but all different kinds of trauma, all different kinds of things that we've experienced or things that we've done, like the shame and the guilt and the, you know, like all of these things are so, just so heavy and keep people quiet and hold people down and hold people back. And one of my kiddos just had to do a paper for school on the movie Spotlight, you know, with the whole Catholic Church priests, you know, sexually abusing youth. And so it's, you know, it's just so prevalent. And so I think what I'd like to ask is just in the leadership work that you do with folks, how do you help folks with, you know, overcoming imposter syndrome and dealing with shame around trauma and, you know, just, I, again, all of those pieces that kind of go into the leadership journey.
Yeah, well, I know for my clients, I consider myself a holistic coach. And so I integrate a lot of practices that sometimes people call woo-woo, right? But I do really encourage people, especially depending on where their trauma lies. I'm not a therapist or a psychiatrist or a psychologist. You know, you have to see sometimes a professional and be willing to integrate multiple things into your life. It's just not always one thing or the other, right? So I do tell some clients sometimes like, hey, like I work with you in conjunction with a therapist, right? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, maybe you need to see a spiritual healer, right? And get connected with yourself and get connected with whatever you consider to be the source. For some people, that's God. For some people, that's like a goddess, whatever that means to them. For some people, that means just like really spending time in nature and getting in touch with themselves. It can look different for everybody. And so really what I do is I customize the way I work with people, especially one-on-one, because we're not all the same. And so I don't like taking a cookie cutter approach, all different. So yeah, to me, being holistic includes not only thinking about your mind, but also being respectful to your body and being in tune with your body, listening to that, whether that's doing a body scan or if you feel sore because you haven't, you know, moved much, like getting up and doing some movement, and then soul, like, what does that mean for you spiritually? And like I said, not everybody believes in God or that there is a God, but there are ways that we can connect to our own spirit and the human spirit. Mm. And what does that look like for you?
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And I know that, you know, we've had conversations about this and I know that you feel the same. I mean, I don't want to speak for you, but just this whole idea of leadership, right, is that it is very holistic and it is like we're all leaders. We're leaders of ourselves. We're leaders of others, no matter how we're showing up.
Yeah.
But there's this like intentionality around showing up in ways that are aligned and this, you know, getting your body, mind, and soul, bringing awareness, bringing alignment, bringing that like attunement, right, allows us to show up as leaders in the ways we really want to, and so that we can have the impact and effect that we want to instead of it being like reactive, that it's intentional.
Exactly. Oh man. And I really appreciate you saying that part about like the reactivity. Is that, if that's a real word, I'm not sure, but
it is. Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. Yeah, but just being reactive and you know, that's fine. We all can have our reactions, but also not just letting our emotions rule us. Right. And it's funny. I had to tell my niece who lives with me, I told you this before this, they got in trouble at school because some kid shoulder checked them. And then in turn, they exchanged some words and then they ended up kicking the other kid. They didn't care that they shoulder checked them. They weren't sorry. So then, you know, my nibbling kicked this kid. And, you know, as someone who's like a parent figure, I couldn't say like, well, they deserved it. You know, I had to talk about how we have to control our reactions, even if something's not fair or right, because in the end, we're the ones responsible for how we react. And that's so true with leadership. And yeah. I would like to say that almost like I would say everyone I come in contact with is a leader in some way. A lot of people don't believe that of themselves, but we're leaders in our household, especially if you have kids. Like your children are watching everything you do and they're seeing how you move in the world, or your partner's watching what you do and they're seeing how you move in the world. So even if you're not by title a leader, you are a leader in some way. The way you show up in your community, you know, that determines how people are watching you. So it's really important that whether you think you're a leader in the sense of title or just at home being, like, someone's always watching you and has eyes and is seeing how you move and how you react to things. And that's one of the things I touch on. I am writing another book, just like 7 tips for holistic leadership. And that's a big piece of it, is knowing that we're all leaders and that there's ways that we can all be effective in the way we communicate. Another big piece is like integrating play into our lives. That's huge. And I think that there's a lot more conversation around that right now, is that we're not robots. I say this all the time. We're not robots. We're human beings. And so, you know, it's important for us to integrate play into everything we do so we can prevent burnout. There's a big talk right now about burnout and like how to deal with burnout. And I'm like, right now we're talking about the symptom and how to treat the symptom. We're not actually talking about the problem or the disease, which is like overwork, and how can we handle this overwork so that we don't get to the point of burnout.
Yeah. So true. So true. So I really do love, Sydney, how you brought up the idea of play, right? And for me, that is so important, like this idea of play and joy and fun and laughter. And that I think I've shared with you a little bit about, like, part of my coach training has come from this framework called Core Energy Coaching. And in that framework, there's these 7 perspectives. And we all bring all of these perspectives to our life, right? And it's like these different ways that we see and experience the world. And, you know, a couple of them are very much based in that reactivity that you were talking about before. And then kind of on the other end of the spectrum is more of like that creativity and like those high vibration things, like creativity, innovation, alignment, beauty, like all those things. And I feel like, to your point, when you were talking about the leadership and how we're all leaders in some way, like that philosophy comes from the standpoint that we literally are all leaders all the time. And that because how we show up, there's an energetic impact on other people. And so if we show up with reactivity, that can, not always, but can easily trigger reactivity in others. If we show up in judgment, that can trigger judgment in others. But if we show up in that place of fun and creativity and joy and playfulness, those are all like these lighter energies, and that impacts other people as well and can trigger those things for them. And also it can take us out of that reactivity. So I love that idea. Like one thing I coach my clients on all the time is like, you know, have you ever had those days where you're like working and you're sitting in front of your computer and you've got this ridiculously long list of things to get done, and you get to the end of the day and you're like, I literally did nothing.
Yes.
Like, what happened? 8 hours or 6 hours or 10 hours are gone, and none of those things got done, but there was no joy. there was no fun, there was no play. And I'm like, as soon as you find yourself in that space of I'm sitting at my computer getting nothing done, get up and go play.
Yeah.
Go do some art. Go take a walk. Go turn up the music and have a little dance party. Like whatever it is that you've got to do, that can completely shift your energy. And then you can sit back down and usually you can probably get something done. I mean, maybe you don't want to do it. So yeah, I got that. But like, so maybe you either need to say no, but also you can shift your energy in that way. So I love what you brought up about that. And I completely agree. Like we are leaders all the time, whether it's by title or not.
Exactly. Thank you I'm happy you agree with me. I'm honored actually. And I love the fact that you tell your clients that to like, just get up and to play and to integrate fun. And I know you work with a lot of business owners, right? And like myself, where it's like, we didn't create or get out of working a certain job to end up in the same energy of like not enjoying our lives. Even though business ownership, as we all know, is extremely difficult. It is extremely difficult, but it's so important to find those moments of joy where you'll just forget why you're even doing what you're doing in the first place.
Yeah.
Something else too, I like how you brought up that list. Something I tell my clients too is to turn the to-do list into a to-da list, because it starts to rewire our brains instead of saying this is something I should do, into feeling accomplished when we do actually achieve something on that list. And it's more of a celebration. So it's like a ta-da. And then the other things on the list, if they didn't get done today, okay, that's fine. I'll have some more ta-das for tomorrow. Sounds hella corny, but anybody who has tried that and started switching that narrative has come back to me and said like, wow, like I actually do feel better about doing some of these activities, even if they're things that need to get done, but I don't enjoy doing them.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I think that's great. I'm all about corny. I'm totally down with corny. So I think okay, it's good. Great. And of course, I love that. I'm going to have to think about that for myself. And I think the other part of that too is, you know, and you know this from working with Kite and Dart, is that it's also really important to be intentional about what even goes on the to-do list, right? Yeah. And that as much as possible, I want people putting things on their to-do list that they want to do and that they like to do and they're good at doing it, right? Yes. And I know that isn't always possible in business. You know, I always try to get my clients to a point where they've got at least 80% of the time that they're working in their business is them doing things that they like to do and they feel that they're good at doing them and that they're really being a contribution.
Yes.
And again, I get that there can be those things, but also where can we look for those places that we can let go of things that we're not only doing them because someone told us we should be doing them, but actually like thinking about, well, I could do this and do I really want to? Does mm-hmm. this really serve me? Mm-hmm. And that I can actually let go of some of those shoulds, you know? And I feel like between being super intentional with that to-do list or to-da list, and, you know, and then I love that idea of every single one of them that you do, you're like, woohoo, ta-da, got it done. I think that that's fantastic. So I'm going to take that off.
Yeah. And I will say right like what I learned about the contribution and figuring out what things actually serve me and are in my genius zone have definitely has been a great lesson that I have learned from my time being coached at Kite and Dart, because I still carry that through to my business today. So yeah. Oh, and I will say one thing too, is that another thing that has been really great is because I'm not a fan of doing my accounting and doing my books, but I'm also still at the point where I can't afford to have an accountant every month. So something I do is turn the activity into something fun with play. So I'll actually like make it like a date night and, you know, I'll pour myself like a nice drink, not too much though, because I don't want to mess up my numbers, but I'll have a nice beverage and I'll order my favorite takeout food. I'll put on comfy pajamas and like turn it into an enjoyable moment where I'm like having a date with my business.
Mm.
So that's been really nice too, because then it doesn't feel like I'm trudging along, also doing something that has to get done, but I hate doing it. Like, okay, like I'm treating myself to a nice dinner. Look at this. I'm comfortable, you know, and then I end up doing the work a lot quicker too, because I'm actually enjoying it. You know, I got good music going on in the background. So yeah, I'm a big fan
of that. Myself. taking yourself on a date.
Yeah.
I love it. It's great. And I think that, and I'd love to, with that, that's a great segue into talking more about your business and your experience. But I think it's so great because I think what I'm hearing you did was, rather than forcing yourself to do it in maybe the traditional way that people think it's supposed to be done, like you approached this thing in a way that makes it work for you.
Exactly.
And I think that that's so important, is that we very often are told that when something's not working, we have to change ourselves. And we don't have to change ourselves. Screw that.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have to, but you can change the way you go about doing it to make it work for you. And I think that that's a really great example of doing that other people can learn from. So thanks for sharing that story. With that, will you share more about some of the challenges that you've had starting and running this business? And those can be in general and or as it may relate to your different identities.
Yeah. Oh, man. Where do I even start?
Just a small thing. Yeah.
I will say that it has been very interesting in figuring out a way for me to have my voice heard. I know when I was first starting my business, especially with coaching, oftentimes I would get asked by folks who would never even become my clients, right? Like, what are your qualifications to do this? Why do you think? And then that would just feel the imposter syndrome that was trying to like scratch and claw its way back into my life. It's an ongoing process. Like, it never goes away. I think it's something we always have to just manage and be aware of and pay attention to. And so that was really one of the biggest challenges for me, is where I would get questioned on like, well, what are my qualifications? But the people who are questioning me wouldn't question my counterparts, who might be a white male. And that happened quite often, especially with having a coaching practice. The other thing is just having my voice heard and trying to figure out, as a small business owner, like, how can I truly make the impact that I'm wanting to make in my community outside of, I think we talked about this too, you know, one client at a time. And so for me, that's shown up in civic engagement. And it was hard at first to figure out, well, like, what does that look like? Because to me, you know, especially based off of my experience, like we had mentioned before, with like police brutality and just growing up as a Black woman, you don't want to go to the courthouse or to a city building. Like, that's stuff you do when you're in trouble. Like, that's not fun. And so being civically involved, you know, has always been like a challenge to figure out, like, how do I have my voice heard, especially with something that I really care about. And so I've been really fortunate to like come across organizations like GBC, and there's a bunch out there in Colorado, at least, where, you know, they have been very helpful in figuring out how to get small business owners, especially, you know, women, BIPOC folks, people of color, you know, get our voices heard and known where we stand in the world. So that's been a challenge too, and something that I'm very grateful that I've been able to figure out and navigate with the help of others.
Yeah, I love that. And total shout out to Good Business Colorado. They are definitely doing great work. There are a lot of really great organizations doing work in the entrepreneurial ecosystem and kind of, you know, bringing together the policy, the systems work. Mm-hmm. And pulling entrepreneurs into that, which I think we're really lucky to be in this state. I'll even give a little shout out that I think the last time I saw you present was a GBC event, and Jared Polis, the governor of Colorado, did opening remarks for that. And I'm like, there's Sydney following Jared Polis. Like, yes, like I love that. So I thought that was fantastic. And I love that it's given you, it sounds like it's really given you this way to civically engage, like where there has been maybe hesitation to wanting to be seen and yeah. hesitation to plugging in maybe in a certain way, it's really given you access to doing that and having that voice and being heard and using it to change the world in the ways you want. So like, good for you. And I do get, it is that imposter syndrome is an ongoing thing. And just even overcoming those challenges around using voice. I mean, I think it's really common. And I guess I'm curious, part of it, it sounds like, has been having places to do that, having people having spaces where people want to hear your voice. Is there anything else that really helped you overcome the imposter syndrome enough to then go do it other than just having the space?
Yeah, I think honestly, I would say the first thing that really, really supported me with breaking out of my imposter syndrome was taking the time to slow down and to actually name it and say, like, this is what I have. Like, this is what's going on with me. So that was the first thing. And then finding the folks who could support me and encourage me and building up my inner circle, or even that like second layer, right, of folks who are encouraging and who recognize, like, oh, Sydney's dealing with this. Like, let's pump her up. How can we support her? And so building that support network has been a huge piece of me also being able to like continue to move forward as well. And that's something too, I know I didn't mention this one yet, but you brought it up earlier. I am working on a book as well that's going to launch called My Own Worst Enemy, Understanding and Overcoming Imposter Syndrome. And so in that book, I'm talking about what is imposter syndrome. You might have, even if you're a little bit older, heard of it as like Doubting Thomas. There's tons of names for it. But what is imposter syndrome? Why does it happen, right? Like psychologically, what's going on? And then what are some steps we can do to overcome it? Like, how can we combat imposter syndrome? Because there's a lot of things going on when you can get into your head. And I will say one of the biggest things that I've learned is how to reframe my thoughts. When I have a negative thought pop into my head, automatically, I have to be like, okay, let's slow down. Let's take a deep breath. It's time to reframe this. You're not stupid. Like, why are you creating this story that you're stupid? Like, what is going on? And then by literally talking to myself and having that conversation, in the end, I could be like, okay, you're not stupid. You're just frustrated in this moment with the situation. What can we do to, you know, move forward from the situation? And so, yeah, that's been my biggest piece, or one of the biggest pieces, is just like starting to reframe my thoughts.
I love that. Oh, thank you so much. Imposter syndrome comes up with my clients all the time. It comes up on this podcast all the time. So thank you for, you know, because that's the work you do and it's also been your struggle. Like, thank you just for sharing that with folks. And I hope people can take that in and, you know, think about how that may apply for them. So wonderful. I'd love to switch then to a short coaching conversation and look at something that you're still grappling. And I know you've already said imposter syndrome is something you are still grappling with. Like, it doesn't go away. It's an ongoing thing. But like, what's another, you know, what things are you grappling with today that we could uncover a little maybe juicy insight
today? Yeah, I will say it's something that I still struggle with today is moving in my head from my external locus of control, like, you know, the things that are happening around me, like kind of getting like, woe is me, oh my God, like I can't control this, into internal locus of control. Like, what can I focus on? How can I keep moving forward? That's definitely something, because in my life, the last 3 years, like, not only did we have a worldwide pandemic that we were dealing with, we also had, you know, the epidemic of racism that we've been dealing with in our country. And that's, I mean, that's been affecting me my whole life. And then also too, I had a family tragedy. Well, I had to pivot my business because of COVID. I had a family tragedy. Because of that tragedy, I'm a parent now, an instant parent. And so like, it's just been ongoing. My partner, I don't think I told you this before I got on, but my partner's father just passed away about 2 weeks ago. So it's like things just keep happening and happening and happening and happening. So that's one of the challenges that I'm facing, is how do I keep moving forward in face of like all of this adversity and these challenges that are very overwhelming happening to me?
Mm. Such a good question. Yeah. And I'm sorry for the loss for your partner. I think that it's so interesting too, as you were talking about that and sharing, I was just kind of reflecting. I feel like this has been coming up a lot, and there's these like macro things, and then there's also the micro, right?
Yeah. Personal
things. And it is a lot. And I do feel like I hear a lot of this. I think what I'd like to do, since you're a coach, is ask you, you know, if one of your clients brought this to you, what would you say to them?
Yeah. And I love that you framed it that way too, because sometimes I have to remind myself, like, what would you do in this situation? Or I have to come to someone like yourself and get support. I'm a big believer that coaches need coaches, therapists need therapists, doctors need doctors.
So true.
So I think what I would say to my client is to really start looking at not trying to control the situation from outside, like other people's reactions or even the things that are happening to them, but what is one thing that they can do today that they have the power to do? So even if it's starting off small with, because I know right now I'm dealing with anxiety and depression, like, hey, I got out of bed today. I got in the shower and I brushed my teeth. Like, that's a win for the day.
Ta-da.
Ta-da. Literally.
Ta-da. Literally. I did it. Seriously. So, yeah.
Hey, I got on my email. I actually responded to one person today that I've been meaning to get back to. Ta-da.
Right?
So that's how I would frame that, is just take it in bite-sized pieces of what you can do to keep moving forward. You know, hey, yeah. I got up today and I actually did the dishes, even though I didn't feel like doing the dishes. Ta-da!
Ta-da! I kind of feel, Sydney, like I really want you and maybe myself to, like, every time it happens, to literally say, ta-da, like out loud. Like, maybe that's part of what you do, but I'm like, everybody out loud, like every time you do it, just be like, ta-da. Like, how fun is that? Like, talk about play and talk about, like, you know, giving yourself a little bit of the recognition and celebration for, like, yeah, some days getting out of bed and getting dressed and brushing my teeth is literally a big win. And yeah, it's okay. Yeah. I love it. I appreciate what you said about coaches, right? And I do think coaches need coaches. And like me throwing that question back at you, like, it can be really hard to coach ourselves, right?
Yes.
And I know I've had that experience of like, why do I need someone else to tell me or to help me see exactly what I help other people see? And it's like, because it's just what's so, it's easier when it's somebody else's thing happening. And I also think that we do have that wisdom inside of us to have our own answers. And so it is a little bit of that reframing of like, if someone came to me with this, what would I do? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I think that you brought up earlier the importance of play. And so I guess one question I'd ask using your wisdom is, how do you make sure to get play in every day in addition to the ta-das?
I love that you asked me that. Something that I do, I'm a big, so first off, I love grounding or earthing, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
And that's in what I call my toolkit. And everybody's toolkit's different for play or for like restoration, whatever, however you want to frame it. We all have a different toolkit because we all love different things. But for me, it's like going outside and standing in the sun before it gets too cold and just like taking 5 minutes to sunbathe and to have my shoes off and just have my feet like on the ground. I live in a townhome that has a tiny like patio backyard, perfect for my little dogs, but right outside the gate is grass. And so like sometimes I'll just go right outside my gate and I'll just stand in the grass. And I'm sure my neighbors think I'm a weirdo, but I'll just like stand with my arms opened and I'm like receiving the sun. That's one easy thing for me to do. I also love playing pinball and things like that. So like every once in a while, like, you know, I'll treat myself. I'll be like, you had a hard week. Let's go to a play pinball. And there's a couple of places around me that offer that. And like, I love skee ball. I don't know. Take me back to Chuck E. Cheese, right? Like,
seriously,
I love a good skee ball game. So like, I'll go and play skee ball or I'll play pinball.
I love it. All right, Sydney. So just for our last couple things here, will you first share with me, what does entrepreneurial activism mean to you?
Yeah. So entrepreneurial activism, what it really means to me is using my business as a tool to be a catalyst for change. And for me, that means more in the like hyper local sense right now, where I'm really impacting, you know, people who are like my neighbors or within my local town or within the metro area of Denver. And hopefully I expand that into the future as I grow my client base. But it's really just taking your business and using it as a tool to emulate your values, what you stand for. You know, how can you create this ripple effect? In my case, like I don't look at it as, oh, I only work with one client at a time, or I only worked with a small group. I really look at it, oh, I'm planting seeds and that's causing a ripple effect. And I hear that all the time from past clients that I've worked with, where they're like, just so you know, like I learned something from you and it really sparked something in me. And now I'm giving back to my community. And so it's that trickle down effect that it causes. And it's a great way to make money. So to me, I feel good at the end of the day with the checks that I receive, because I know that I was able to not only give back and do it in a way that feels good, that feels like it has integrity, something that I learned a lot about when working with Kite and Dart, right? Like, what is integrity? But then also it feels good to also make a profit and be able to self-sustain and thrive.
I love that. I love that. And I do love the call out for Kite and Dart, because you were around when this whole term entrepreneurial activism was like coined. I mean, I don't think we coined it originally. I don't know. But like when we started talking about entrepreneurial activism was when we were partnering. And so I love that, you know, that's just kind of coming full circle. So thank you for that. I think that's fantastic. And then last thing, will you please just share with folks, how can they connect with you or learn more about what you're doing?
Yeah, definitely. And I'm sure in the show notes, some of this will appear too, but I do have a website. You're always welcome to go to my website. You can check out the multitude of projects that I'm always working on within the community, both locally. And like I said, I'm starting to do some work more nationally and internationally. So that would be a good way. I also do have an Instagram. So folks are welcome to follow me at Citrine Unlimited on Instagram. And then, you know, definitely I'm happy to share with you, Karen, my Calendarly link. If anybody ever wants to just do a session, a free 30-minute session, just to like connect and see how maybe I could support, you know, a training topic they want to do, or, you know, have a conversation on where they feel stuck. If I have any community resources, I call them pick your brains. I ask people, because I don't believe in free labor, to buy me a coffee in exchange for a pick your brain. But I am a big supporter of sharing information. I don't think information should be hoarded and kept secret. And so I'm always having pick your brains with folks and sharing info, and they buy me a coffee, which is always really nice. So yeah.
Love it. Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on for the conversation. It always just makes my heart so happy when we get to share space. Like I said before, we've done things in so many different collaborations that it's just always a pleasure. So thank you for being here today. And I almost feel like we need to end with a ta-da.
Ready? One, two, three. Ta-da!
Ta-da!
Thanks, Karen. I appreciate you having me and just being on the Now and Sinners podcast with an amazing lineup of individuals who are making an impact in the community. I appreciate you for giving us a platform to share who we are and to share who you are. So thanks.
Thank you so much for being with us here today. I know your time is precious and you're really busy crushing it in your business. Learn more about how to connect with me and my guest in the show notes. And if you enjoyed the conversation, please rate, review, and subscribe, and share it with another business owner who may also be tired of getting gaslit in the business world. This podcast was produced by the Kite and Dart Group in collaboration with Karen Hibner at Public Good Media. Learn how to connect with Karen in the show notes. If you'd like to learn more about how to grow your business using DEIJ-informed strategies and joining a powerful community of like-minded entrepreneurs, visit kiteanddartgroup.com. You can also check out the show notes to learn how to connect with me one-on-one. I wish you connection, abundance, and liberation in business and life.